Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hermoso, Lemar y el centro para Witsel, Griezmann, ¡gol! 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 Del Atleti, del Atlético de Madrid, Griezmann, agónico triunfo del colchonero.
That was the sound of Antoine Griezmann's 101st minute winner at the Metropolitano in the Champions League. The latest winning goal in Champions League history, excluding extra times. Yes, the Champions League is back. It's been a good week for the Spanish sides in general, 3 wins out of 4. But now attention turns to the weekend in La Liga once again. Welcome to the Matchday 5 preview here at La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host, Matt Clark, and I'm delighted to be joined once again by Paco Pollitt. How are you, Paco?
Very well. Because football is only a few hours away from being back. And obviously for Valencia fans and for myself, it's been a pretty great week. The first one in quite a while.
Yeah, we'll get on to plenty of Valencia chat in due course. But the first game of the weekend is at Montilivi. It's Girona against Real Valladolid. Another clash of two newly promoted sides. And on Monday night, we had one of those with Real Valladolid getting their first win of the season over Almeria. Sean Weissman coming back and scoring the winner. Can you see Puzela getting anything in this game against Girona?
Well, I think it was quite unexpected. The way Valladolid were able to pull off that first win last Monday against Almeria, obviously it's going to be a huge boost for them. Their morale is going to be like sky high after getting those first 3 points against I think a direct contender for remaining in La Liga's Almeria, whereas for Girona are more or less in the same position, right? If you take a look at the standings, Girona sitting comfortably mid-table, 12 with 4 points. Valladolid, after picking up those 3 points against Almeria, trying to chase them, very, very close to them, actually, with the same number of points. But yeah, the feelings haven't been the same. The sensations between those two sides have been quite different. So I expect plenty of, a balanced game. Opening games are always tricky whenever you have to check them out. And those two teams are very similar in several spots. Girona, I wasn't really impressed in match day one, but they have been, you know, slowly making progress. The last few games have been a bit better for them, even though the scheduling match hasn't been the best, you know, against Celta at home, always a tricky side. They were able to beat Getafe, which were in shambles, and pick up a point against Mallorca. So all in all, I think they're doing pretty much fine at the beginning of this tenure at La Liga. Very balanced game. Plenty of things to pick apart if we check out the game, but overall I smell, I don't know why, the typical Friday night game, only a few goals if there are at any point, and a draw is floating up in the air.
Yeah, I know what you mean there. Could be one for only the diehard fans to tune into on Friday night. Well, on to Saturday then, and it's your team, Valencia. They travel to Vallecas to take on a Rayo side who still haven't won at home since last December. So home form clearly a problem for Andoni Iraola. As for Valencia, well, they are absolutely flying, as you touched on, after that fantastic 5-1 win over Getafe last weekend. Can they continue where they left off?
Well, actually, they are pretty close in the standings. In Rayo Vallecano's case, they were able to start with good feelings, not losing in the first two games, picking up 4 points. But the last two have been two defeats. And, you know, even though I'm a huge Easy Palathon fan, I believe that Valencia at this point are far superior, both in playstyle and in players. I expect Valencia to finally show away from home what they did a few days ago when playing against Getafe at Mestalla. It seems that Cavani won't be fit to play this game yet. Possibly Gabriel Paulista will be available. And overall in injury news, I believe it's a huge blow. Not in the sense of being the starting keeper, but yeah, if we speak about the morale of the team and the atmosphere in the locker room, Jaume Domenech being out for around 5-6 months with a knee injury, that is going to be a huge blow for the spirits of the team. Even though Mamardashvili will be the starter and that is going to be covered. So overall, Valencia should try to keep the consistency and the play style, the beautiful play style, I would say, that they showed against Getafe away from home. Whereas for Rayo Vallecano, will try to once again become that side which pestered the opposition whenever they went to Vallecas, which is always a tricky stadium, even though you always have the kind of, you know, strange atmosphere with fans 100% backing the side, but with full frontal opposition against the board, which is something which, by the way, Valencia know very, very well. So it's some sort of mirroring between those two organizations.
Yes, absolutely. Very good point there. Next up, we have Espanyol taking on Sevilla. And, well, this could be Lopetegui's last chance saloon. We've been saying that for a while, but we do understand that he will be on the bench for the weekend despite that 4-0 defeat to Manchester City. And he's taken on the man that many would have picked to replace him had he gone in the summer, Diego Martinez, who has got that first win with Espanyol under his belt now. The home fans should be optimistic going into this one. How do you see it going?
Well, I think that fate has quite a few ironic signposts along the way. Diego Martinez, remember back in the day, he was the manager for the B team in Sevilla. And eventually he went to Granada. He did a great job and he was one of the most in-demand coaches in the market. And suddenly, you know, it seemed that Premier League teams didn't come in with their offers, and that's why he had to take on the Real Club Espanyol offer. And he has been slowly trying to make the Periquito side pick some steam, no? In the first few games. He wasn't able to do so with the opening one against Celta, even though he salvaged the late drawing goal, penalty, I remember, against Celta. Then they lost at home, precisely against Rayo Vallecano. Against Real Madrid, they had nothing to do at home. And against Athletic Club, in a game where I, you know, 100% had Athletic as the favourite, they were able to beat them with that single goal scored by Martin Braithwaite in the last few minutes. So I think with their new addition to the forward line, they are going to improve quite a lot, because that was what they were missing in the first few games. Even though it seems that Raúl de Tomás and Diego Martínez are trying to mend things up and they are trying to get him once again slotted into the squad, because he actually wants to play the World Cup with Spain, and if he doesn't have minutes and the chance to score, he won't have the chance to go with the Spanish national side. And if you have that in one corner and compare them to Sevilla, who are facing this game as an absolute final for Julen Lopetegui. Remember, Sevilla only 1 point out of the first 12. Already chance after that Champions League fixture against Manchester City, with even former president Del Nido which was, by the way, locked up in jail, and he's already outside. But he was in the stands, and he was chanting the Pepe Castro Dimisión, which is absolutely amazing, because you never get used to seeing a former president chanting against the current one. But that's Sevilla, you know. It has some of the most ironic and beautiful coincidences of the Spanish football. So overall, Lopetegui is in serious danger of getting the sack. And I would say that even a short, unconvincing win by Sevilla wouldn't be enough to save his head. So they will need to perform very, very well against Espanyol if he wants to remain on the bench for at least a couple more weeks.
Yeah, an absolutely huge game for Julen Lopetegui and Sevilla. Just to put it into context, what we saw on Wednesday night in the Sánchez Pizjuán, it would be the equivalent of José María Bartomeu turning up at Camp Nou and then just calling for Laporta to resign. That's how crazy the situation is there. Yeah, absolutely chaotic in that club right now. We'll see how that one goes. Speaking of Andalusian sides in trouble, Cadiz hosting Barcelona. Barca have scored 16 goals in the last four games. Could this get pretty ugly for Cadiz?
Possibly so. I have to check out, you know, we have a number of different collaborations over here in La Liga Lowdown, and as our listeners know, we, you know, from time to time check on the different odds in the betting houses, and I believe, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm sure that this will be like the most unbalanced game possibly of the whole month of September, because Barca are in a riot right now. They are playing beautifully. They are scoring left and right. Lewandowski is on fire. They have won in the opening game in the Champions League. They are able to, you know, have the chance of overtaking Real Madrid depending on the results this weekend in La Liga. Whereas for Cadiz, it's four defeats out of the first four games. You know, they haven't scored a single goal. They have allowed 10 in. Things are looking bleak for them. So I think we have talked about this already in the last few preview podcasts, Matt. Yep. We talked about the reinforcements this summer, or better said, the lack of reinforcements this summer. They needed quite a few players. They didn't get them, and they are paying the price, you know, the iron price, as they say in Game of Thrones. So they are going to have a rough night against Barca, possibly so. We can expect quite a few goals, and let's see if they are able to turn things around, because I'm checking out their following games, and they are facing Valladolid before the break, and after the international players are back, they are facing Villarreal at home, Espanyol at home, and playing against Girona away from home. So not the best opposition in order to pick up the first points of the season.
Yeah, it always feels like it's important to get that first win before the international break, because that's when, you know, directors of football and presidents might want to pull that trigger when there's that 2 week break for the national team. So, yeah, on a positive note for Cadiz, the last two meetings with Barca last season, they won 1-0 at Camp Nou and were 0-0 in Carranza at the Nuevo Mirandia. So they didn't concede a single goal to Barca last season. I'm not sure that's going to be the case on Saturday, though. To round off the action is Atleti at home to Celta. That dramatic winner from Antoine Griezmann late in the show. Of course, he won't start again on this match either, because we've talked a lot about the crazy situation where he comes on after an hour.
Have we explained this already? I believe we explained it like seven times already in the first four match days.
I think so, yes. But just in case you haven't heard, listener, if he plays a certain percentage of minutes with Atleti, the club will be obliged to pay Barcelona up to €40 million as part of that loan agreement. So that is why he's being used off the bench at exactly the same time every week. And he's doing okay off the bench. He's scored, three goals now off the bench, including a couple of winning goals.
I believe so. And as I said earlier, people who are, you know, keen into betting, they can take advantage of it and say, okay, Griezmann is going to get subbed in the 62nd minute. And they will nail it like every single week, because that's the way things go with Cholo Simeone. Yeah, about this game, obviously, the lack of Griezmann as a starter against Celta is going to be a problem for Atletico, because he's one of the most informed players of the team. And Celta have been pretty much surprising in several games. You have to talk about, once again, Thiago Aspas, which is, I believe, already all talk all here, right? People will think, oh, these guys in La Liga Lodan are always talking about the same topics. But he deserves so, right? He deserves it.
You can't ignore
100%.
It, yeah.
You can't ignore how good he is, how amazing he is, how brilliant he is, and how informed he is this season. Thiago Aspas has been scoring quite a few goals already. Celta Vigo 7 points, sitting comfortably in the 8th place, and mostly thanks to Thiago Aspas' scoring ability and also the way he's playing, because I believe he's at this point possibly in the most mature level of his whole career. He's been this way for already a number of seasons. Remember that Celta are playing next week against Valencia. That is going to be a fun one. They beat Cadiz last week 3-0. They beat Girona away from home with one goal. They only lost to Real Madrid this season to date, which is something absolutely understandable. So overall, I think it's going to be a very fun match to watch, because Celta are always the team which is able to surprise everyone when never counts on them.
Yeah, it could be some late drama in this one. And just to let you know, listeners, Luis Enrique will be announcing his Spain squad for the Nations League matches next Friday. Just thought I'd mention that. We'll see if he gets included. There is certainly a growing
clamour. I see what you did there.
Or is it that obvious? Anyway, there's plenty of content on our Substack, laligalodan.substack.com. We've got a couple of pieces there looking at Thiago Aspas and whether he should be on the plane to Qatar. So check that out if you're in the mood to do so. That'll do us for part one. After the break, we'll talk about all of Sunday's matches as well as the Monday night game, including Real Madrid against Mallorca and Elche Athletic. Join us soon.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. I'm here with Paco Pollet and we are previewing match day 5 in La Liga Santander, the best league in the world. Sunday's game, it kicks off in the Santiago Bernabeu. It's Real Madrid against Mallorca. You'd think it should be 5 wins out of 5 for Carlo's side, but Mallorca have only conceded penalties this season, none from open play, and there's no Benzema. So what impact will that have? Who will start? Will Eden Hazard continue his kind of false nine role? Or you know, will Madrid be able to get the job done, or will Mallorca surprise?
Yeah, I think so, because we have seen quite a few times already that Carlo Ancelotti is, you know, a 100% Benzema guy, and whenever he's not there, he prefers to, you know, shake up things on the play style and on the tactics rather than, you know, placing just a substitute number 9. Back in the day, Jovic didn't work. I think that Mariano doesn't have that kind of consideration to the manager, and that's why Eden Hazard played a few days ago in last match day in that position, and also in the Champions League. So, yeah, overall, Real Madrid are the favorites. At this point, they are just cruising through the competition because they are working like a clockwork stopwatch. It works like super precisely every single aspect of their game. Whereas for Mallorca could be, you know, that kind of wild card random side which is able to perform the best of their ability suddenly in a huge scenario like Santiago Bernabeu. So that is going to be quite tricky for Real Madrid. I believe it's going to be quite interesting game. Remember, Murici is on fire. Kanginli is having the season of his life so far. In the first four games, I believe he's shown that kind of potential that he did back in the day in Valencia. And if you check out the results so far for Mallorca, as you said, they are only allowing goals from the penalty spot. I think that the way their manager has been able to make them a very tight at the back side, very, very consistent, only allowing that kind of goals. They were able to beat Rayo Vallecano away from home. They were able to hold on, you know, hold their own ground against Athletic Club away from home in the first game. Overall, I think they are doing quite well, but you know, that game against Betis was the only case where I saw one of the teams being superior to them because of the way Betis are playing. So overall, it's going to be very interesting the way Aguirre tries to deactivate all of the potential which Ancelotti has at his hand. So Real Madrid favorites, but interesting game regardless because they can be very dangerous. Mallorca can be very, very dangerous, especially at the counter offense.
Yeah, bit of a free hit in many ways for Mallorca because, as you say, no one's really expecting anything of them away from home against the champions. So we'll see how they get on there. Next up is another team who really need a result. It's Elche. They are at home to Athletic Club, who they'll want their own response after getting sucker punched last weekend, as we mentioned earlier in that game against Espanyol. So two sides here on the back of defeats. Elche, of course, hammered by Villarreal in the local derby. Pressure also beginning to mount on Francisco a little bit because they've also had quite a poor start, and despite their forward line, the goals aren't really coming at all. So another interesting game this one, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely, because as you said, Elche had that kind of, I would say, potential to get up to the next step of the ladder and become one of those teams who are swimming around in the mid-table without really suffering the whole season. But again, last year, for example, I expected that from Levante, and they failed to deliver. So Elche could be perfectly one of those kind of sides where you expect something from them because you've seen them playing well, very well. You've seen them playing to a high level, and suddenly they drop. Nobody knows why. Nobody knows the way things are falling out, especially at the back, because they are conceding goals very easily. Easily avoidable goals, I would say. Whereas for Athletic Club, if you try to forget last week's game where actually Iñaki Williams wasn't really that fit to play and it showed because he wasn't at the top of his game. He tried to force his way into the starting lineup. Overall, they have been pretty great this season. They hammered Harit away from home against the yellow side for Neil away from home. They beat Valencia at home, which is not going to be easy this season. They held their ground against Athletic. I don't know. They are doing pretty well so far. Ernesto Valverde, everyone knows. And if you don't, you are listening to this, you are going to know now. I'm fervent admirer for Ernesto Valverde. I believe he's one of the best coaches around, and he's going to do a remarkable job this season for Athletic. So, in danger for Elche. Athletic Club, nothing to lose. They're going to go for it and try to pick up the 3 points away from home because they're going to need these kinds of wins if they really want to aim for European spots, which, by the way, I think they're going to be candidates literally till the last match day, till match day 38.
Yeah, fascinating race for those European places, and already shaping up to be quite a few clubs in that relegation scrap, as always, which is just how we like it. Plenty of drama in all the matches to be seen. The next one on Sunday is another similar sort of game. It's a struggling side against a Basque giant. It's Getafe against Real Sociedad. We touched on Kike Sanchez Flores already. I'm sure you've got plenty of things to say there. Could Real Sociedad's Europa League game away at Manchester United, could that have a bearing on the game? Do you think Imanol's side might be a little bit tired or leggy after this? Obviously, a big game for them in Europe.
Obviously, whenever you have to play midweek in European competitions, you're going to face a number of problems a few days from there in the weekend game. But I don't think it's going to be that tough for Real Sociedad, mainly because the showcase from Getafe last weekend was one of the worst I've seen in quite a while. It's true that Valencia did a remarkable job, thrashing them with 5 goals at home, but they had it very, very easy. Like, Getafe gave away so many chances, made things so easy for Valencia overall that I was utterly amazed at the way Quique Sánchez Flores' side, which is well known for his outstanding defensive progress, was able to concede so many chances to Valencia strikers. So I think they are in trouble. And that's the typical case when you see, as we've said already in this podcast, that they have made very interesting signings this summer and they have a very good looking side. A very good looking, I would say, starting lineup. But the manager isn't able to make the pieces fall in the proper place. And that's their main issue, because they have been unable to rejuvenate their backside. I think Soria as a keeper shouldn't be the starter, because he was very, very lacking against Valencia. His performance was very poor. The midfield isn't as strong as it used to be. And in front, they are unable to, you know, link those plays from the midfield to the strikers, and that's why they were almost like a kitten in Valencia's hands. So in that sense, possibly playing at home, trying to be more, you know, comfortable in their shoes when playing in front of their crowd, they're going to give away the ball to Real Sociedad, who are going to be the ones charging forward with the ball possession. That is going to be more or less the script of this game, but I expect Getafe to do much better than against Valencia, whereas Real Sociedad might get to this game a bit tired, even though they have the quality and the players. So Umar Sadiq is going to be a menace, an absolute threat for Getafe. I expect Getafe to do something more, because I would surely like Quique Sánchez Flores to remain at their bench, because I'm a fan of the manager, and it would be an absolute pity that after doing such a good job last season, he was sacked after only 5 games.
Yeah, I was going to say, surely Getafe can't be as bad as last week. And I do think my mind kind of casts back to last season, because Getafe lost, obviously, the first 7 games. In their 8th game, they drew at home to Real Sociedad. And even despite that point, Michel was sacked. So interesting kind of parallel to last season there. I think Real Sociedad might be a little bit tired. And if Getafe can start well, it could be a bit of a tricky evening there for Imanol's side. Two more games left to cover then. The first of which looks like the game of the weekend on paper. Whoa. Is Real Betis against Villarreal. Two of the sides who, of course, in Europe this week, and both will be hoping to finish in the top four this season as opposed to the Europa or the Europa Conference League. Both rotated their sides for the European games on Thursday. Do you think they'll be going into this, you know, full strength and with a lot of determination to get another win?
Yeah, in Villarreal's case, I believe it was quite amazing the way they overly complicated their game against Lech Poznan. And also in Real Betis' case, well, I think they have enjoyed the week much more than they deserve to, because, you know, Sevilla lost against Manchester City and Erling Haaland was training in their stadium, in their ground, and going into a locker room and, you know, joking around with Joaquin Sanchez. So overall, Betis fans have enjoyed this week, even though they didn't play, even before playing European competition. And now, speaking more seriously, they are facing possibly one of the most challenging games remaining in this first half of the competition at home, because Betis have become renowned for the strength when playing at the Benito Villamarín, but Villarreal are one of those sides who don't actually change their playstyle whenever playing at home or away from home. They're always going to try to favor the ball possession, trying to have as much control of the game as possible, and they have absolute dynamite in front. So I've been very, very impressed so far with the way Gerard Moreno has kickstarted his season. Also, I wanted to check out the stats because I was very, very impressed with the way he played last weekend. This guy coming in from the youth academy,
Alex Baena or Nico Jackson?
Alex Baena with a couple of goals midweek. No, but I'm talking about Nico Jackson. You know, he was incredible in the way they thrashed the opposition. He has the pace, the speed, the quality, the finishing. He reminds me of the breakout season of Samu Chukwueze on the opposite wing. And he became one, you know, I remember, an international player. And Nico Jackson gives me that kind of vibes that back in the day, Samu Chukwueze in his breakout season 2 years ago had for Villarreal. So it seems like Unai Emery doesn't only do things well when he gets brought in quality players, but he's able to nurture quality players from the ground up in the youth academy system. Overall, this game is going to be hands down the most interesting one of the weekend. If you guys have to check out only one of them, leave Real Madrid aside, leave Barca aside, leave Atletico aside, just check out Betis Villarreal, especially if you are not fan of either of them, because this is going to be an absolute treat for any football lover.
Great for neutrals, yeah. And Villarreal have already won at the Civitas Metropolitana this season, and they still haven't conceded a goal in La Liga, so Betis, they have to put their shooting boots on if they want to beat Geronimo Rulli. The final game of the match day is on Monday night, and it's Almeria against Osasuna. Almeria, of course, we touched on a little bit earlier. They got that late defeat against Real Valladolid, but struggling for goals without Umar Sadiq, I think, is probably going to be the story, isn't it?
Yes, that is the main issue for Almeria after losing their main striker in the nick of time, you could say. And actually, the opposite side isn't going to make things easier, because I've been checking out all of the games played by Osasuna this season. I think that Aymar Oroz seems like one of the top five contenders for breakout star of the season. That kid is pure quality, and also has the you are born with it, or you miss it. You need to have the skill to be able to score when maximum pressure is mounting on you, and this kid seems to do things without thinking on the repercussions, without thinking on the fans, the stands, the pressure. He just plays like he was playing on the streets, and that's why he has, you know, been one of the breakout players in the first four match days. He scored against Rayo Vallecano, even though they needed that late Rubén García goal in the 90th minute. But so far, Aymar Oroz has been one of the best players of the league. Whereas for Almeria, obviously, missing on Umar Sadiq is going to be a huge blow for them. They were able to beat Sevilla 2 weeks ago, but missing that striker meant that against Valladolid, they were able to, you know, they didn't play to their usual standings. And I think that they need to pick up wins, especially when playing at home. Estadio de Juegos Mediterráneos isn't going to be a stronghold, I believe, this season, because one of the teams who gets up promoted from Segunda are never going to make a stronghold from their grounds. And that's why they need to take every single chance they have of picking up points, securing them at home, and try to get them into the bag, because whenever winter comes around, people will get nervous. And Almeria, Ruby knows that it's very important to have that kind of baseline to work upwards from. And if you get to October, November with only a handful of points, things are going to look very bleak for Almeria overall, not only for the management, but also for the whole squad regarding the second half of the competition.
Yeah, it feels like an important game already for them to just try and reset after that departure of Umar Sadiq. Well, thank you very much, Paco. That's all we've got time for on this edition of La Liga Lowdown. Check us out on Twitter at La Liga Lowdown. And check out our Substack as well. Look at all our content on there on our newsletter. And enjoy the weekend's games. As Paco says, it should be a fantastic one, especially that Betis Villarreal on Sunday night. We'll be back Monday morning with a recap podcast of all those games. And until then, thank you for listening. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.